Good Saturday morning to you, Charlottesville. I'm Michael Guthrie, and you are listening to Real Estate Matters. And we're grateful you're here. We're grateful for our sponsors, Clearview Window Tinting, Rosewood Village, and Ryan Homes. And for those of you that follow us on Facebook at Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie, you know that we're continuing our conversation this morning about buying, about the real estate market, about the things that you've heard over the last couple of weeks as to what the market's been doing for the first 6 months of 2010. And you can always follow us there and get a heads up on what we're doing. And if not, you can always listen to the podcast of what we've already done. So as I've said, today's show is going to focus on, while now may very much, and I emphasize may, be the right time to buy, I have in the studio with me David Murata. David's with Murata Wealth Management and someone who has regularly read in the Daily Progress Business Journal on Mondays. I've also used his articles in past newsletters that I send out on a monthly basis. And I do that because David is an objective voice in the marketplace. I think he's very knowledgeable when it comes to finances. And David just recently wrote an article on why now's the time to buy a house. And what's really cool about that, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, things have, you know, been changing, and there's some good things, there's some bad things. But what's really cool about the fact that he just wrote this article was a couple of years ago, I remember reading an article of David's that said, now isn't the time to buy a house. And so he's kind of moved in a different direction, and I thought it'd be fun to hear what has changed his mind. David, we're glad you're here, and welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I did. I had a chance, as you know, to read your article. And in fact, one of the things that was really fun in the newsletter I'm sending out at the beginning of next month, you just had that article on the 7 tips to financial success and how it helps marriages. And with my youngest daughter about to get married, I paid particular attention to that and actually posted it in the newsletter just for fun, given the fact that she was going to get ready to be married. But this article on why now may be the time to buy a house intrigued me, because I know that your thought process is conservative. You want people to make the right decisions. You don't want people to overextend themselves. You want them to make the right decision when it comes to, you know, buying a home. And what in your mind has changed your mind, and what things are happening that you feel like people would like to know about?
We offer an investment advice to diversify across three asset categories for appreciation. One is U.S. stocks, one is foreign stocks, and the third is a category we call hard asset stocks. And hard asset stocks are things that have an underlying value that will be a hedge against inflation, everything from energy, precious metals, and real estate. And normally real estate is a huge portion of the hard asset category, but as early as 2005, we were recommending that real estate looked like it was going up a little too precipitously. It was in a bubble, interest rates were low, and it looked like it was not a good investment. We probably were a little early in saying it's not a good investment, but it continued to not be a good investment until it finally went down. And I think it was Nathan Rothschild who offered the contrarian advice to buy when there's blood in the streets and sell on the sound of the trumpet. Well, it's clear that from 2005 to 2007, the trumpet was sounding, people thought real estate could only go up. And yet there were signs that that was not the case. Now there's clearly blood in the streets. The market, I don't think, could be worse. The incentives for first time buyers have expired. The real estate market looks awful. There are places where foreclosures are going for 20 or 30 cents on the dollar, and it's very difficult to get credit in order to buy a house. So everything is slated against the buyer at this point, and everything is slated in favor of, I'm sorry, everything is slated against the seller, and everything is slated in favor of the buyer. And that's the opportunity where if you have some money and you're able to make an investment now, a couple of years from now, that investment should pay off. So the market couldn't be worse, and that's the contrarian time to say it couldn't be better to invest in it.
You know, it's interesting, David, and folks, if I think we're seeing reality in regards to what I said this show is going to be about, Real Estate Matters on WINA 1070. You know, we want to get people to really have a realistic idea of what's going on in the market, that we weren't going to just blow smoke at people and say it's always a great time in real estate, because it's not. And, you know, David's comments are right on the money in a number of different ways. We have to be careful when we're looking at the overall, these different indexes that David was talking about. We have to be careful because we're not national, we're local, we're not even regional. But a lot of the things that you're seeing nationally, if you push that down a little bit percentage-wise, the same things are happening. And we're going to take a break so that our sponsors can identify themselves and tell you why you want to be working with them. We're grateful for Ryan Holmes, Rosewood Village, and Clearview Window Tinting for being parts of our show. And afterwards, we'll get into the details and hopefully have some time to talk to you buyers about how best to take advantage of buying a house if you're ready to go. Thanks so much. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. Michael Guthrie here with you, along with David Murata. We're talking about why this is a good time for a buyer to think about buying a house. What we talk about all the time is that it's a personal decision. For so long, you know, NAR had this slogan, now is the time to buy. And it got to the place where it literally almost made me sick every time I heard it on TV, because they were saying it at times that it wasn't the right time to buy. And over these last couple of years, as president of CAR and now as past president, and with Greg Slater as the president of CAR, we talk about the fact that it could very well be a good time to buy if you're in a particular position to take advantage of what is an oversaturated market, if you will. Housing inventory still is up near 4,000 homes on the market. For us to be in a normal housing market, we need that number to be under 3,200. I don't see that happening anytime soon. And because of that, when you've got a housing inventory that is saturated, that means there's a lot of things, a lot of houses out there that a purchaser has a chance to look at, make the right decision, and find a seller that wants to sell their house, is in a negotiable position. And David, talk a little bit more about, as if you had somebody coming into your office and thinking about buying for the first time, what types of things would you be telling them? And then I'll kind of add on the real estate side after that.
Well, it's interesting that it was only a few years ago that everyone was boasting about how real estate was appreciating by 1% every month. It kind of made us feel like fools to be out of the market. With only a handful of listings out there, we were told that even if a glut of houses came on the market, it would take years to satisfy the demand. But markets turn quickly, and now everyone's talking about how there's bleak predictions for the housing market. Everyone's expecting real estate to underperform the stock market for many years forward. We've got so much of a glut on the market that we'll never work through it with normal demand. And I think those are exactly the right times at which you can buy. My advice to people who are looking for a house is, if you're willing to be patient, you certainly have a greater chance of getting a house. You know, I was hearing from one person, they were trying to buy a foreclosed house from a bank, and they were offering them the asking price, and the offer had been made in February, and they still had not been able to buy the house. It takes a long time to get a foreclosed house and to work through all of that process and paperwork. So if you're willing to be patient, you certainly have a much better chance of finding a house for a great deal. And the second thing is, you know, be perfectly okay to offer a ridiculously low price on a house. I mean, I know people out there who are trying to sell their house because they're moving out of the area, and they've had two people look at their house in 6 months. Mm-hmm. And their house is beautiful. It's a beautiful house. They're asking a reasonable price for it. But it's nothing wrong with the house. It's nothing wrong with the price. It's just there are so many houses on the market. And in their entire range, only two houses have sold in that 6 months. So be willing to make a ridiculously low offer. Maybe you'll pick up an ice rink for $1 million below what they were asking. I mean, that's what's happening in the community. And even here, where I think housing has been much more stable than it has in other parts of the country like Michigan or California or Florida, even here you can tell that houses are not selling for what they people are asking, and people have to continually lower the price in order to get traction and to find a buyer.
You know, it's interesting, David. I appreciate what you just said there, because Charlottesville is unique. You would think, and I run the statistics on a regular basis, and you would think that people were selling for significantly less than what they're selling for. And we've got a lot of buyers out there who are making offers that are way below, and can't understand why people aren't taking them. When you look at the list price to sales price ratio in the Charlottesville area, believe it or not, the list price to sales price ratio is only 95%. So that, what I'm talking about to you all listening today as a buyer is that you might try to come in at 10%. So say the house is at $300,000. You say, oh, I'm going to buy this house at $270,000. There are the exceptions that you could get that or maybe even less than that. But the statistics, I think in June there were 100 properties that sold. And out of those 100, the list price to sales price ratio was 95.79% or something like that. And so there are the two things about that. One is I think Charlottesville's finally getting it. I think sellers are finally realizing that, yes, this is one of the best places to live in the country, and we get number one on all these surveys. But they finally realize that the market's not coming back, and that so they need to reduce the price. And two, I think it's a situation where buyers are finally understanding that, yes, I'd love to get this house for as low as possible, but at the same time, I want to buy something. I don't want to keep on writing contracts and just having them be rejected. So the patience thing that you said, David, I think is really critical. If you're in a rental, you know, month to month, where you can just be there for as long as you want until you find the right house, then I think you can continue to go after it from a very low standpoint and have an opportunity to buy something for significantly less. Going back to what you said about foreclosures, the same thing could be said about short sales. You know, our Bill Tucker, an attorney here in Charlottesville, and Chip Royer, who was also an attorney here in Charlottesville, both specialize in short sales. And they don't call them short sales. They call them long sales. Because the fact that when you start dealing with the bank, you're in a situation where if you've got the patience and you can just hang out for months and months at a time, yes, you may very well be able to get that contract through. The problem with that is, and segueing into the next thing, the interesting thing about this market, you're right, the tax credit is already expired, April 30th. But the interest rates, 50-year low on interest rates. Sellers being realistic in price, you would think that this market would just be hot and things would just be selling like crazy, but they're not. And from your standpoint of looking at things from these different indexes, why do you think that is? Why do you think people are slow to pull the trigger and move forward?
Yeah, one of the things we look at in terms of behavioral finance, the psychology of how people look at money is that people tend to always see the high water mark. So if your investment portfolio has gone down, you remember what the highest water mark it was ever at, and you don't do anything until it goes back to that and you can sell it for that price. In this real estate market, the high water mark was particularly high, and people still have that in their minds and aren't willing to lower the price. But as you said, gradually, as your house is on the market for 6 months, 9 months, a year, and you realize it's not going to quite get back to that, or you don't want to miss the opportunity costs of what it would take for it to get back to that, and you want to use the money someplace else, and you want to stop paying on two mortgages because you've already moved, then people are beginning to lower the price. So it is coming down because of that. So I think part of it is just it takes people a long time to readjust in what they think their house is worth and to reset prices accordingly. And along those lines, if you make some crazy offer, if your offer is accepted the first time, I always feel like you didn't really bid correctly. We bought our house all the way back in 1990, and I think we set some kind of record. We had 7 offers and counteroffers. And each time we must have moved, the last time we were moving $500. But finally we reached a price that I thought was fair. It was almost exactly halfway between what they were asking and what our first offer was. And we kind of met in the middle, and it took 7 times to do that. And they had moved, and their house had been vacant for a year, and one of them really wanted to sell and the other one really didn't. And it took them a while to work through getting the price right. And so I think that you can do that. And if you do that on 10 houses, maybe 9 of them want 100% of what they're asking, and they really think that's a fair price. And maybe the 10th will take 50% below, and that'll all average out to 95%, but y'all get the 50% below price. And so if you're willing to buy any house and you're really willing to look and you don't have your heart set on one, then you really can make a number of offers. And believe me, everyone out there who's selling a house would like an offer, even just to know that someone is willing to buy it at some price.
You know, it's interesting you'd say that. And one piece of advice I would give you if you are in the market to buy something is, obviously, one, get yourself pre-qualified. Make sure that you're financially able to do what you want to do, because that puts you in a great negotiating position. Two, find somebody that you trust who really has your best interests at heart. And one of those people should be a realtor who does this each and every day and can help you wade through the process. But going back to what David just said about this negotiating back and forth, you know, seven counteroffers, one piece of advice I would give you that I give to all my agents as well is every single counter, you'd want to have it in writing. You know, there are a lot of people out there that want to do things verbally, whether it's because it saves time or it's, you know, less inconvenient or whatever. But when I'm a buyer, and going back to what David's saying, when you're trying to get the best price that you can get, what you want to be able to do is to have your agent hand this to the other agent and say, this is their counter. It's signed. It's initialed. All your seller has to do is initial off and it's done. Whereas when it's verbal, things can change. And you think you got the deal and then all of a sudden something happens that changes it. So one piece of advice I give you is even when a realtor says to you, well, let's just, you know, verbally get it over there, blah, blah, blah. I say, no, I want to sign this. I want to initial it off. So when they have it, all they have to do is initial off and know that they've got their home sold. Other piece of advice, we were talking about this off the air, David. My daughter is getting ready to move to Athens, Georgia, and they're looking to buy a house down there. And one of the things that I think a lot of folks don't think about, and I'd like to get your input on this, is that I recommend first-time buyers, when they're buying their house, it doesn't even have to be a first-time buyer, but you're moving into an area, you're buying a house, you don't know how long you're going to be there, try to work it out that your monthly payment, your mortgage payment, is equal to what you think you could get it rented for. Because if you move in 2 or 3 years, that's a investment that you want to hang on to. I mean, you bought your house back in 1990. My guess is that that house is worth a whole lot more than it was then. You've got equity built up in that house because you know it's cyclical and it was at one price at this point and it's moved back up. We are a cyclical business, but you know, I think, you know, getting with a property manager, finding out what a neighborhood rents for, so you're in a position that monthly payment will make you sort of, you know, not in a bad situation should you decide to move out and rent it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely true. There are only two cases that we recommend that people take out a loan. One is for real estate because that is an equity where you're leveraging. You've got something that's an underlying asset, and you can get someone else to pay the loan, and yet you can build the appreciation in the property itself. The other is for student loans, and those are the only two cases that we actually recommend you take some kind of a loan out. If you have $300,000 that you could invest and you could buy a piece of property outright, it's much better if the markets are going up to be able to pay a little bit, put the extra money in the stock market, and have a balance between house appreciation and stock market appreciation. So it's always better to have some sort of leverage, assuming the markets are going up. The way people get hurt on that is when they're highly leveraged and the market takes a tumble. So you have to pick the right time in which you're leveraged and get it for cheap prices. And I will tell you, you know, 5 years ago, I would have said this is not the right time to be leveraged on real estate because real estate is on a tear and it only looks like it's going up. Now that real estate is doing absolutely awful, and if you can make it work in these markets with these rents to be able to invest, you know, I would say buy up all the property you can. If you're able to manage property and manage renters, it should be a good investment for the next 5 to 7 years, and you should be able to make a tremendous amount of money on leveraging. So a little bit of leveraging now is not a bad idea. You should be able to multiply your investment that way.
Well, I think the other thing that's really important and that's really changed since I got in the business back in the early 80s is, you know, we went through, this is my third down cycle, and quite honest, it's been the most frustrating and the hardest one yet. But we're away from buying a house and 2 years later selling it and buying a house and 2 years later, you know, selling it, which a lot of people were doing. That's how my friends in Northern Virginia talked about having their own ATM machines because the equity was just building up so quickly. But if somebody's buying the right house, being smart, buying in a neighborhood that they, you know, can raise their children in and that kind of thing, long term, it's a great investment. One, because equity will build up over time. Two, you still have the mortgage interest deduction, which is, you know, much better than just paying a rent and not getting that deduction. There's still a lot of good reasons, but it's much more of a long term process at this point versus a, you know, jump in and jump back out sort of scenario.
Yeah, both residential and commercial real estate appreciates well above inflation. Residential, if you're renting it out, is about 4.1% above inflation. And commercial is about 4.9% above inflation. So that if inflation runs at 3.5%, you get 7.6 or 8.4 or something like that in terms of an absolute return. And that can balance, because real estate doesn't look like any other kind of investment. It can really balance your other investments. We firmly believe in some kind of diversification, and a little bit of real estate is good to have in your investment portfolio. And you can either have that in physical real estate, or you can invest in some kind of equities for real estate investment trusts. If you're willing to handle the hassle of physical real estate, you can always get a little bit more, but you have to be willing to handle the hassle. So for our investors who like having rental property and like fixing it and like collecting the rent and things like that, it's a great business to have. You not only have the investment, but you have the business as well, and you get paid both for it. If you don't like that, then just some kind of real estate investment trust that's publicly priced and traded is certainly safe and easy to do. You buy the stock and you wait for it to go up.
And I think, you know, again, for somebody who's looking to buy for the first time, if you have some handyman sort of expertise and are willing to do those kind of things, that sweat equity thing is a good deal. You can find a house that's not quite in the best of shape. Well, David, we really, really appreciate your time. If people want more information from you, what's the best way to reach you?
Probably our website is the best place. It's www.emarotta.com. That's EMARROTTA.com.
David, it's been great to have you. Once again, great information. Appreciate you all listening on Real Estate Matters here with Michael Guthrie. We'll see you next Saturday at 10 o'clock.